It's Wednesday, July 11th, 2007, and you're listening to episode 60 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 52 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan. And it's kind of funny because we talked about how in episode 50, this was going to mark a whole bunch of changes in the nature of the show.
Yeah, we're kind of late on that.
Yeah, because by a string of circumstances largely beyond our control and some within our control, it actually looks like episode 60 is now going to mark the beginning of some massive changes in the show. The first one's a good one. We have been asked by the listeners to change the way we do introductions to help you guys identify our voices, where rather than me saying, and on the mics is so-and-so, and they say hi, we are all instead going to introduce ourselves. So once again, yeah. I am Dan.
I am Phil.
I am John.
And I'm Adam.
And they're both assholes. For those of you that have been following the show for a while, they just introduce themselves backwards, but that's all right. Let's get on to some positive news. We just found out today, as of the recording, that we have been nominated as one of five podcasts that have been entered into the finals for the Annie Awards.
Woo!
The Annie Awards are independent gaming awards that are voted on. This year will be from July 16th to July 29th. With the winner being announced at an event at Gen Con. So we're going
to
go.
Oh, I guess we have to go to that now.
We will post a link.
At least 2 hours this time.
Yeah, we can't just hang out over at Smoky Bones the whole time.
And then leave.
But we will put up a link to the awards page. And once the voting booth is available, we'll put up a link to that too. If you guys would get out there, show your love for us, vote for us early, vote for us often. Use proxy servers to scramble your IP, etc., yes, etc. All the things you're not supposed to do.
We promise nude pictures of Johnny G.
Yeah, all the things you're not supposed to do for the Power 16 need to be done here.
Do those for the Ennies.
Do those for the Ennies. Because we would love to go up there and accept that, and maybe we'll come up with something funny to do, and maybe not.
I bet we do.
Maybe. I'll wear my Jane Cobb hat.
Your what?
You don't watch Firefly.
I might get your wife to dress me up like Spock again.
He's got one of those.
It's going to be good.
Oh, is that your funny little knit cap that you have?
Oh, okay, man.
All right. So anyway,
he's the hero of Bloomington or wherever
Canton.
It is. Canton. Canton.
I would first of all like to say that we are very flattered and honored that the judges over at the Annie Awards picked us from a long list of podcasts to be one of the finalists.
Not that our bribe had anything to do with it.
And
nor the sexual favors I performed.
And hopefully we can see this through all the way. So we'd love it if you guys would get out there starting on July 16th. And hit those voting booths, vote for us regularly and often. Now, a couple other changes that are coming to the show. The first was those introductions. The second, and this is a little bit more of a major change than the introductions, is the hosting on the show is going to be changing a little bit.
I don't like change.
I don't like change either, but today we are confronted with it.
Turn and face the change. Changes.
The two change announcements we have is that for different reasons, Chad and Mike have both resigned from the show. And we wish them, of course, best of luck in all their future endeavors and all those usual corporate statements that people make when these things happen. But Chad and Mike have both elected to leave the show. The replacements we're going to make for this episode, Phil is with us. And actually, this was planned anyway, because we have a Phil special episode today, followed by a Phil bonus episode later this week.
So much Phil.
And we should clarify, the episode isn't exactly about Phil, but the bonus episode is.
Right. Phil's just an expert on the subjects we're going to be talking about during the regular episode.
Flying trains and the like.
So we need Phil here for his expertise.
Personal catapults constructed in half an hour with a hatchet.
Exactly. So we need
MacGyver, baby.
In future episodes, we have already slated one replacement, which is Tex, who is going to be rejoining us. He'll have his own perspectives and such. And if we decide to bring in another host to replace Mike, we haven't decided at this point. We're still working that out.
But his own perspective.
I think it should be Gerald Ford.
In the meantime, since Gerald Ford is dead and all.
In theory.
What about James Brown?
James Brown did finally.
We can't book James Brown.
I can channel his spirit.
He's been dead for 10 years. He finally worked out the funk and he is gone. So we're going to be figuring out what to do on that front. The show does go on. We will continue to bring you guys the same kind of content delivered in the same sort of way. It's just the people are going to change. And, you know, it's actually kind of funny that I even have to say this, because the original point of the show was to have a cast that changed every week. But it got to the point that the fixed cast was me, John, Adam, and Chad.
The original show was also supposed to not have John or Adam.
Yeah, but it got to the point that where it was consistently John, Chad, Adam, and me, so that it became like there were regular hosts, even though that was never supposed to be the case. So now that we are changing it up, which is what was the original idea was, we suddenly have to explain it.
We're going to retcon them in.
All right. First issue of Real Business related to gaming today.
Oh.
We talked two episodes ago about voluntary player isolation, when players isolate themselves from the party for a variety of reasons, including rules things like, for example, if you're playing Shadowrun and someone has to deck into the Matrix. A gentleman by the name of Mike sent me an email pointing out something that I feel like a dumbass for not having brought up myself, which is depending on the reason the person's being separated from the party, there may be programs available on the internet that do these long processes quickly. Now, obviously, if the reason they're separated is because they're role-playing with their family or trying to rob a castle or something,
there's no automation for that.
You can't automate that.
I have a program for everything. It's called Roll a D20.
And if you roll high, you did well.
That's right.
If you roll low, you did not do well.
If you roll low, I'm contorting the story around your failure because you needed to succeed.
But what he pointed out is that for stuff like decking in the Matrix, there are third-party programs available out there that automate this, so you can plug in a few numbers, and with a bunch of clicks, you can do in 10 or 15 minutes what rolling the dice might take hours to do.
I'm huge in favor of this.
I am too. It's a great way to shorthand certain elements of the game, and like I said, I feel like a dumbass for not having thought of that when we were talking about this.
I didn't think of it, but I'll give you the eye for not thinking about it.
You're also a dumbass then.
Yes.
So thank you, Mike, for not being a dumbass, and we appreciate your email. And if you've not contacted us, we have email addresses on the forums.
We
are
Do we?
On the website. We have forums on the website. We love hearing from you guys. Hop out there, get involved. Lots of stuff going on. And also, if you email me and don't get a response back within about a week, check your spam folder. Because some email hosts are still taking Fear the Boot emails and sticking them in a spam folder.
Those bastards don't know what they are doing.
They have no idea who they are messing with. There are at least 3 to maybe 6 totalitarian regimes throughout the Middle East and Africa that are ready to back us up at a moment's
That's
notice.
That's right.
It's gotten
if you
better.
Email me and don't get a response within 3 to 5 seconds, please check your local AM radio station for notification of the bombs flying off. Because I've got about 8 in the course of hosting, and I get right back to you.
Or John's announcement from the White House about some changes to the leadership, shall we say.
Yeah, speaking of dictatorships.
All righty. We had a contest. The contest has ended. It is not the Power 16.
Boo!
We will have a Power... Why are you guys booing the Power 16?
Because Phil wants to know if he won.
I want to know if I...
Yeah.
I'm enjoying
made
Phil's
it to the
pain.
Next round.
Continue.
That's going to be the next episode. Next episode...
I need to know.
Next episode, we will have the Power 16 results, and also we will be announcing the next round of votes. Phil, I do not know who won between you and the Baron. What I will tell you is the last I checked it was within 5 votes.
Oh, that's so Phil. Not cool. That's so
it
not
was
cool.
Within 5
you cannot,
no,
you
cool.
cannot leave me hanging.
It
like
was
this.
Close, but I am. So,
bastard.
We have another contest that has ended, which is the Nazi Zombie Bugbear Contest. We asked for 2 things. One was a theme song, the other was a picture. Lots of great entries, but there has to be only 1 winner in each. So, here's the winner. Here are the winners for the song. We have chosen the song by Go Orange. That's
congratulations,
his
buddy.
He wrote
brilliantly done.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Awesome.
Nazi Zombie Bugbear song.
This song has made my personal music playlist.
And I'm not going to demean any other submitter of any other contest, but this was probably the single one of all we've done that has floored us all the most.
Well, and we've had several people say what Adam just said, that they have downloaded this song and added it to their MP3 circulation. We are going to post this song in the show notes. I am also going to splice it after the episode. So after we do the ending copyright notice and all that stuff, stick around because you will get to hear Go Orange's song for the Nazi Zombie Bugbears.
Congratulations.
So congratulations, Go Orange. Send me a private message. pick anything you like out of the Fear the Boot store.
And John.
be sure,
oh, I'm in it.
Be sure to give me colors, sizes, whatever, if it's the shirt, and give me a mailing address, and I will send you a complimentary thing out of the Fear the Boot store. Picture, the winner for the picture we are giving to Angst Boy. We will also link his picture from the show notes. Should be sure to check that out. And Angst Boy, just like Go Orange, be sure to send me a private message with your mailing address, what you want, sizes, colors, whatever is necessary, and we will get that shipped out to you guys. To everyone involved, thanks for your involvement. It was a great contest. I have never been so afraid of fascist, undead,
goblinoids as I
have been today. They are...
wonderful contest.
Horrifying. And...
I really hope that the 4th edition player's manual or monstrous manual or whatever doesn't have the encounter tables required to generate this thing, because that makes it real.
Actually, somebody made a prestige class.
I've seen it. It was actually very, very good.
It actually was really funny.
That's going to stay in the realm of the terrifying non-canon that we all used to see in Dragon Magazine, because if it gets in a real game, I'm not DMing it because I'm afraid.
I'm afraid, too. The only other thing I have to say about the contest is the more pictures I saw of the Nazi zombie bugbears, the more believable they came as a viable Warhammer 40K army.
They did look increasingly so.
I'm hoping Games Workshop will come out with minis for a Nazi zombie bugbear army.
That would be awesome.
You know, you could probably...
Perhaps by the time I'm in law school, I can afford to buy 5.
Yeah.
You could probably take one of the Imperial Guard Ogryn figures and just change it
maybe,
a little bit.
Maybe. You know, Tim could probably do that. He's actually a really good modeler. He could probably do that. But yeah, I have to agree with John that maybe by the point I'm ready to take out a loan against the equity on my house, I might be able to afford like a squad of these from Games Workshop.
I had a brief flirtation with Imperial Guard, Phil. I saw your Ogryn.
They die by the ranks.
Yes, they do.
I played Tyranid, and then they screwed Tyranid, and then I stopped playing Tyranid, and that was the end of my 40K playing.
Well, I think when you played, we were screwed if we weren't Space Marines.
I've got two armies. I've got Space Marines and Tau.
And you've been following the power curve very well.
You have been. Now you just need to step up to Necron, and you're at the top of the cheese.
Tau take Necron.
Do they really?
I take them from range.
Huh. The few times I played
against
Necron,
roll 4 and not die?
Yeah, exactly. They stand right back up.
Unless you hit them with a rail cannon, then they're automatically dead.
Really? So in the new Necrons,
If it's double their strength, it automatically takes them out. They can't regen.
I do not recall that in the edition I played.
Unless there's the Orb of Regeneration, like the main character handles the Orb of Regeneration.
I played a couple battles of 4th edition 40K with the new screwed Nids. And it was ridiculous because here you've got guys that have the toughness of Space Marines, greater firepower because they get that glancing blow thing on 6.
Yeah.
And it's on top of that, I bust my ass to finally get through the armor, to finally get through the toughness, and then they just stand back up anyway.
And
it's
only
like,
cost 18 points.
Yeah, and they're cheap as hell.
Yeah, back when I played, they crumpled regularly, but then they got that 50% roll to get right back up, which I thought was balanced.
I have bitched regularly about game companies that take their games up instead of out, and Games Workshop, we name thee. I choose you, you crazy Brits.
Blizzard Workshops of the Coast.
Yeah.
Yes. The Coast.
Evil thou hast to name.
Yes.
You know, John, after you just said that, I'm guessing about half a dozen people were sent back to the original planes of origin.
Oh my god, excellent. Kilpixism.
Yeah, it's like the Rumpelstiltskin or the Alex Trebek thing.
Yes, that was Mr. Mixie's Pitlick. That's the only way to send him back to the fifth dimension.
All righty. Let's get down to the meaty topics we have today, for which we need Phil's expertise. The first of which is, how do you handle ridiculous player actions?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Phil, give us an example of ridiculous player action.
Okay, maybe it's wanting to take on an entire army by itself just because they're facing the wrong direction.
Right.
As a GM.
That's a good example.
You've got surprise.
That's a good example.
As a GM, you're GMing a game, and your party comes up to a city. Walled city. Under siege. Thousands. Siege weapons. Everything.
Oliphants.
Yeah, everything. One player. I charge. What?
Well, my plan after that
No,
oh, here we go.
Go ahead.
I want to hear this.
Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
The problem with most criminals is they only think through how to do the crime, not how to get away with it. So I'm curious to hear the second action.
My plan afterwards is because nobody else wanted to come with me was get onto a path, hide in a path.
Hide in a path?
Phil, what are you
hide
talking
near
about?
A path.
Aren't paths what by is their a nature path? Open?
Well, yeah. Well, I think we were by some like rubble, some city rubble or something like that.
Okay.
And we were going to hide in it. Or I wanted people to hide in it.
After you have attacked 8,000 pairs of eyes.
No, what I wanted us to do is, as the patrol guards were coming through, we constantly attack
them. So you're going to remember the...
slightly dwindle their numbers over time.
Okay. So what you're thinking is basically conducting a one-man American Revolution.
Yes.
Where the army wins, but then you try to pick off the English soldiers with guerrilla tactics as they go down.
By getting down the sentry routes on each individual
guerrilla
one and killing them all.
Warfare always wins.
Oh. Okay, so at what point, when this brilliance is hatched to the GM, does the GM look at the player and say, that is ridiculous, try again?
Well, hold on.
I was there at PATH.
For a moment here, I want to...
if that long.
Let's begin with physician, heal thyself. Phil, let's take a worst case scenario.
All right.
Let's say that you are running a game, and you're the game master, and you have half a dozen Phils as your players.
Okay.
Okay.
And you have...
That's going to be an interesting game.
This better
game.
Be one stainless steel game world you're putting them in.
And you, as Phil the Game Master, Phil the player, says to you he is going to do this. How would you, the Phil the Game Master, respond to this?
That's how I would respond, too.
So, okay, once we get past the stunned silence, that good character acting there, what's the next step?
Let's see. More planning.
More planning. That's not an action so much as it's two words.
I don't know.
Well, that's not Phil, a game master action.
Phil, as a GM, do you think that would work?
Not really.
Okay.
But it'd be funny.
So what would you humorously kill those characters if they try to do it in your game?
What would you as a game master do?
Roll dice.
Okay, to what end?
Yeah.
What roll on a D20
You roll a D20 and roll, let's just say, a 12.
Nice middle number.
Yeah, a nice middle. Now what happens?
I don't know, I never thought it that far through.
That is just the problem.
Things just pop into my head, I say them, I don't have a filter that stops the ideas from coming. I'm a machine, you hit the button, something pops out.
I'm a machine.
That's why you're true neutral, Phil.
Let's all go fly.
Guiding principles are encumbrance.
Alright.
So, what should someone do? Okay, let's pretend it's not you, Phil.
Alright.
What should someone else do?
All right. The first thing I, as a game master, do when a player comes to me with a ridiculous action, and let's put these ridiculous actions into two categories: the dangerous and the impossible. Okay.
Okay, I'll go with that.
All right. The dangerous being, I'm going to take on the army of 8,000 by hiding on an open path.
Okay.
The impossible being, I'm going to create a locomotive that flies. And by the way, someone on our forum actually did the calculations and figured out it would take like multiple Hindenburgs to lift one locomotive.
I was thinking that.
Do you know how big the Hindenburg was?
Big.
Big is a way of starting. It's like calling a tornado an air current. But yeah, big's a good place to begin.
Oh, the humanity.
But let's start with the suicidal, the dangerous.
Okay.
You got to live on the edge.
I, as a game master, I am not brutal and murderous. I know there are some game masters who, as their children say, "Daddy, I want to touch the stove," they say, "Fine, hand goes right here, child burns his hand, never does it again." And this is their GMing style. Player wants to take on the army of 8,000, okay.
Start rolling.
Hope you have a backup character in mind. I, however, am a merciful, compassionate, and decent human being.
Pandering nanny state interventionist GM.
So you would berate them until they cry?
No, I would question them.
Boo-hoo.
What I would say is I would make sure, do you understand this? It's like when someone comes to me, if I was a doctor and someone comes to me and says, you know, oh, I've been diagnosed with brain cancer, I would say, do you understand what this means?
Okay, so your first course of action is to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it's like,
maybe I was incomplete in my description.
Yes, perhaps you don't understand this. Okay, there's 8,000 guys. They have armor, chainmail, and leather, and plate mail, and swords. And if you attack one of them, I can give you a pretty much 99.99% rounded up to 100% certainty you are going to die. Are you sure? Do you understand what you were about to do?
Okay.
It'd all right. Fun. So,
even 8,000 level 1 warrior commoner conscripts will kill you.
Yes, just by sheer volume of dice. Yeah. In fact, in D20 Star Wars, this is how, as a soldier, I kill Jedi.
Yuck.
Is if you take the right feats, you can roll so many blaster attacks at them, you'll eventually kill them. You'll get the criticals eventually just by rolling enough dice. So, a level 1 guy will kill a level 20 guy eventually if you have enough of them.
That was before they added character level to armor class.
Oh, well, okay.
Did they really?
Yes, they did.
I'm not up on my 3-5, so...
Bail Organa is unhittable. He has Neo Dodge.
That is wow.
It is wow. So, anyway, you're saying, Dan.
All right, so I would say, do you understand this? At which point, the person typically at this point responds to me and says, oh yeah, I do. But I've got to...
Yes, this is the situation I'm actually in.
And at this point, I then repeat. we start over.
Rinse and repeat?
No.
There's no rinsing. We need the first dirt from the one go.
The first layer.
It's the proper phrase is lather, rinse, repeat. So we have to go back to lather. No, you don't understand. You're going to die. Perhaps by this point, I need to start. It's like with a doctor. I've used medical terms like the prognosis is not good. This has a high rate of recurrence. We need to move away from that to you're going to die.
So now you talk down to me.
No, I talk straight to you.
He spells it out to you.
If you still insist, I move to this third phase where we start inserting the F word. That no, this plan is not just impossible. This is retarded. Are you sure? I mean, if you came to the game with a helmet and waiter wings on and all that kind of stuff, this is the level I'm moving down to. Do you really understand what you're trying to do? And if the person still says yes, we then roll the dice. And
wow,
I told you it's rolling dice.
The ultimate solution is not rolling of the dice.
I have only killed in my entire gaming history. I've been gaming since 1988, almost 20 years now. In my entire gaming history, I have killed two characters that did not want to die. Only two. One of them was because he attacked a fellow party member. And in my games, that's a big no-no. So I said to the fellow party member, if you kill him, I'll let you do it, which he did do, and the character did die.
Nice.
The second thing that I killed a character on was there was a guy in a Battletech game who had a laser pistol, was facing down a mech, and I said, if you hide in a building, you'll probably survive. If you face this thing down, it will fire upon you, and you will die. Do you understand this? And we went through all three levels, doctor talk, street talk, retard talk, did not get through. He said yes. Four PPCs saw to the end of his character.
But if he has a gyroscope rifle, he could penetrate a cocktail armor.
See, this is precisely why you're here. This is precisely, as a GM, you will find yourself in this situation.
I think I killed two people in my last 3-month campaign.
Hey, if you guys, what is the... There's a movie on YouTube. It's not, I think it's Gamers is the one where the guy's trying to pickpocket somebody.
And he takes his pants?
No. He takes his pants. And it's like, I'm going to use a knife. Then I'm going to use a sword. And then by the end, it's done.
Use a ballista.
He's setting up a full-scale siege weapon behind the guy.
That's the Gamers.
Yeah. Every party, every gaming group has at least one person that's like this. And as we're fond of saying, if your group doesn't have that person,
it's you
who comes up with these nonsensical ideas. All right.
Phil, can you find the guy in this room?
It's me.
There you go.
I'm proud of it.
That monitor is a pretty reflective surface. Look at it.
All right. Anything else on the ridiculous before we move to the impossible?
Hey, I saved Adam a lot. because of my ridiculous actions.
No, we'll get there.
You killed one of my characters because of one of your ridiculous actions.
We'll say this. We'll get there.
You tried to find a guy of mine who was driving a car half a planet away with a Battletech radar.
All right.
And now, you rolled a 20 and you succeeded.
Do we want to tell the Phil Saves Adam story now or
save it for the bonus episode?
The bonus episode? All right. We'll say that for the bonus episode because Phil has to take his beatings now so that on the bonus episode.
Battletech save story?
We'll talk about it in the bonus episode.
We'll get to that. Patience. Let's now move
I'm not done making fun of you yet.
Okay. Yes. We're getting this out of our system.
I can take it.
All right.
I'm a man.
You don't have dinner while you're taking a dump. Okay.
You don't?
You guys need to
I have to layer your precise body mass.
It is absolutely an efficient use of time. I realize that. But nonetheless, to this day.
I mean, a 2-channel pleasure bomb. I don't care about efficiency.
All right, let's move on to ridiculous.
Corn, the only food you get to eat twice. All right. The impossible actions.
Oh, yes.
The flying train. The guy who says, I have 2 hours. I have a hatchet. There are trees nearby. I'm going to build a catapult.
Right.
Sounds plausible.
If I had help, nobody would help me.
Imagine that.
I mean, I think we could have done it if they would have helped. But they just sat around going.
Do we have some other examples of these ridiculous actions?
Well, Phil, what have you tried to do lately?
Not dangerous, but just actions that do make no logical sense.
John, in your game, I tried to build one of those spider mechs.
You did try to build a Wild Wild West spider mech in a WoW game. And actually, that was pretty... That was all right. If you had had 100 skilled goblins and a bunch of money, I would have let you do that. But cool. You didn't. No, you had nothing.
You know, that is...
I think that in and of itself is ridiculous.
I think you as a game master have one of two responses here. Response number one is if you are not that educated in matters of engineering or ancient technologies or whatever, you just start off with a simple answer of no. And then before the argument begins, you quickly change the subject. No. And then a guy enters the room and starts talking to you about this. You don't allow the
distract
argument.
Distract them. The guy enters the room and pulls out a gun.
Right.
Yes.
Roll dice.
Or it's like, no, and then you draw a gun. And then the other player is in such shock that he's facing down a gun that he stops and he changes the subject. This may not work for our European listeners, but for our American listeners, I think it would work for our European listeners
even better. They just don't have the gun.
Right. They don't have the guns to draw unless you're in some of those really far North European countries where they actually have more guns per capita than America.
Do they really?
There's one in Norway, Sweden.
I think you're thinking of Switzerland.
There's one country and I don't know.
Yeah. Those guys are issued assault rifles.
Point being.
All right.
That there are people out there that have more guns than Americans, contrary to popular belief. But having said that, this is probably not an option for, say, a British listener because they probably don't have a gun. You could perhaps draw a knife or a pipe bomb. Or if you're
a policeman, you've got one.
You've got one.
Or you could Jackie Chan them and take the gun from them.
Right.
Your players don't have guns, probably.
Or your other option is just to flip the table on them and start dancing on it. That will typically distract them as well.
True.
So, all right. Assuming you can't just say no, the way that I typically choose to deal with this on matters I know enough to comment intelligently is I start to lay out what this is going to take. I want to build a catapult.
Kill them with logistics.
Very well.
This is what I tried on the catapult.
Do you realize that to do so, you will need certain beams of a certain kind of wood?
Yes.
And you will need rope of a certain tension.
Of course I do. And metal rivets, pulleys, too.
And you will need rivets. And this is going to take a certain amount of time and a certain amount of man hours and a certain amount of money.
I think we can knock those three down
and
way down.
And this is also going to take a certain number of ridiculously high skill checks against skills you probably don't have.
I'm feeling lucky.
Now, Phil, to your credit, that character was nothing but an engineer. So I would have given you some good skill rolls.
If even this fails, if they somehow come up with the time and the money and whatever, I guess maybe we're out of the realm of ridiculous actions and now into the realm of the GM has given you too much leeway.
Yes.
The other killer question, the question that destroys this is explain it to me. Explain to me how a trebuchet works.
Ooh.
And this,
I think that's kind of dirty pool because I don't know how to load a crossbow.
This doesn't...
Yeah. Damn if I don't roll 1d6.
This doesn't always work because occasionally you'll get the guy, particularly the rules lawyer, who actually might know.
Well, I mean, even if he doesn't, his character might.
But I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he doesn't, his character might.
Well, and that's fair enough, but that's where we go back to the, it's going to take this amount of time, this amount of money, ridiculously high skill rolls against skills you don't have, and gee, guess what? Partway through, the local druids get pissed off that you've just cut down half their wood to build a trebuchet. Yeah.
If RDA could take a knife, a toothpick, and rubber bands and build a mini mall, he could do
if
I
who
can do
could
it.
Richard Dean Anderson.
MacGyver.
Oh, MacGyver.
You said there's something in one of my games named RDA, and that's what completely confused me.
That's what I thought of first. I was like, dude, what are you talking
about?
Yeah,
I guess there's one of my the space opera game I wrote. There's an organization called the RDA, and that's what you completely threw me. Like, what?
You got an organization for Richard Dean Anderson?
Yes, it's a big fan club in the future. Yeah. He's huge.
That's all they do. That's all they celebrate.
Phil, though, you do raise an interesting question.
Yes.
Is there a game setting type whatever in which the party consists of MacGyver and the professor from Gilligan's Island and they can make microwaves out of coconuts? Should we bend reality in sort of comic booky setting like that?
I would say yes, because now you have taken it down to the level of a realistic action. We played a Star Wars game where one of the characters he was this hyper engineer. That he soaked all of his skill points, all of his everything into being this really high-end engineer. And he basically said that based on the rules, and there were rules for crafting.
There's rules for a lot of that.
In D20 Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And he's like, can I start crafting certain kinds of droids and certain kinds of blasters and whatever? And what I did is I said, okay, let's review. This is the money it takes. This is the time it takes. These are the rolls it takes. And if you guys get hit by a system frigate or something, these are the kinds of legal troubles you're in. Well, let's spell out the reality. But if you can pass these hurdles, I will let you do it. I am a firm believer the players should be allowed to do anything they can reasonably pull off. I am not in the business of telling players no simply because I don't want it.
And you know, Star Wars is a really good setting for that. You've got blasters, you've got droids, you've even got ships.
Yeah. And you know what? They did. They had the skills, they had the time, they had the money, they had the way of hiding it. And so, you know what? They did. I let them start building droids and I let them start building custom blasters. And I put some limits on it. You know, I was like, okay, I'm not going to let you guys go way overboard with this. But nonetheless, it's like, you've got it. It's a reasonable action. We're no longer talking about someone saying, well, I've got 2 hours and a hatchet. I'm going to take 20 and build a trebuchet. I mean,
it was a catapult.
Okay. So a catapult, point still being that, you know, this was now in the realm of a feasible action. They had time, they had money, they had the parts, they had a knowledgeable crew to do it. So sure, why not?
Something I'm huge against is if the DM has no intention of ever letting you do something, do not let the player think that they can do it. Tell them no. If they have a complaint with that, fine. Don't let them keep wasting their time.
Even then, I'm real hesitant on that. I think you should stick to reasonableness and reality.
I agree.
But having said that, like I said, I am a big believer. All the player has in that game world is the character. Don't restrict them unnecessarily. And I've had to watch this in games.
I think, well,
because there are players who I know will do things with their characters that personally irritate me, Dan. But it's like...
roll elves.
But
and play druids.
But it's like, I have to take a step back. No, it's typically roll thieves. But I have to take a step back and say, you know what? Just because it annoys me does not mean I should stop their fun or take away their rights as a player.
I'm saying a situation of, you will never be able to build your train dirigible. Well, I'm going to roll on it anyway. I think at that point, the GM needs to explain.
Well,
them.
You've hit an
You are wasting your time. If you are fine with wasting your time,
it's like
go ahead.
We're playing a normal game without magic. I am going to quantum phase through a brick wall.
Ooh.
Okay. I don't care how many 20s you roll in a row. You're not phasing through a brick wall.
You get to do that in the
wall.
Earthbound RPG and nothing else.
And similarly, the dirigible train, it's like no number of 20s, no amount of time, no amount of money is going to lift a train via dirigible.
It's powered by imagination.
Oh, God.
Let's all go fly in my imagination train.
This is somewhere between a Disney store slogan and an entry into a funny farm.
Yeah, so. I hear half Nancy Reagan tagline and half insane asylum motto.
All right. Now for the topic that we really need Phil for. This is the antithesis of everything Fear the Boot has ever taught, but the fact is...
This is humility.
We've got the expert on hand right here.
It's a reality. It's like sick fetishes. We can talk around them. We can pretend they're not there, but they're there. We have to deal with them. We can't believe they don't exist. And
we'll have to put another explicit advisor on this one.
We will
be watching the review threads, so please don't post any questionable content.
You thought religion was going to set people off. Oh, man, is this going to set people off? Phil, I want you to give us insight on how to run a high combat, low RP game.
You open up the monster manual, you hit the first one, and roll dice.
What's the first one, Phil?
Arakakra.
Very good.
Someone's been listening to this show.
All right. Someone's been researching his campaign setting.
Phil, let me ask you a question. How much is too much RP in a high combat game?
Honestly, I like RP.
I really do. You didn't answer my question.
Let me ask you, seriously, I just wanted to say
these red lights flashing on the compressor right here. We don't understand a lot of what they mean, but these do detect BS. And these things turned yellow, and I've never seen yellow before.
I love 151. That said, there's too much of it.
So let's bring this back down to reality. Phil, you love the combat. You love the guns.
Yes.
You love the killing.
Yes.
What's the appeal? How do you make it work in a game? Let's start with that. What's the appeal?
I like killing things.
Why?
Just because it's a challenge. It's a challenge for me to destroy something.
All right. I can buy that.
All right. So you're saying you like challenge in the sense that maybe you're the underdog in combat.
Well, or maybe you get some sort of visceral satisfaction out of, okay, he's dead. And then somebody scratches out an entire character sheet and then you hang it by your dice as a trophy.
Kinda. When we played Battletech, I took all yours.
Yes, and I know you took all my mech sheets. Yes,
and so I hung them.
On your refrigerator?
Yes. Are they still there?
No.
I was about to say.
Did Becky put a magnet on them?
It's probably been about 3.5 years since we've played that game.
And she replaced them with those letter magnets we keep using to spot immature things.
Yes, we do.
So, Phil, let me ask you. The typical stereotype that is leveled against a high combat power gamer sort of guy is that it's purely working out aggression, or it's purely working out, you know, I was picked on too much as a kid, so now I'm going to go beat up goblins. Or
look at that face.
Or it's too much that there's this immature thing if I'm getting off on the, oh, my character's so powerful, he's got this +5 staff. Respond to that. Now that we have an actual power gamer sitting here with us, respond to that. Do you feel that's true? What is it that attracts you to these combat games?
Well, I'd have to say, no, I don't. I'm not trying to get out some kind of aggression onto little goblins or anything like that. Honestly, I like doing the aggressive part just because, like I said, it's a challenge, and sometimes it's just got to bring out that side of me.
Is there a kind of challenge that you get from the combat that you don't get from...
Well, I see it as
the RP, you know, is there something different to you about if there's a guy here and you could try and argue him down or you can try and gun him down? Is there a reason why you would lean to the gun him down over argue him down?
Because talking is cheap.
And it doesn't tend to yield experience points.
You know, Phil, you can get more of what you want.
You can get experience.
And a gun than you can with just a kind word.
When you encounter a situation, regardless, like in 3.5, most situations, you can get experience.
Oh, no, I totally agree. And I do award experience. But I'm just saying.
I do, too. I reward tons of experience for good RP. I'll reward far more for good RP than I will kill
something. I'll even reward it for crappy RP and yet inventive thinking that gets you around a situation that doesn't wind up with someone getting killed that didn't need to.
Basically, I see it as I'm very lazy, and do I want to expend the effort to talk to this person?
Understand his hopes and dreams?
Yeah, because, I mean, usually, let's go whole movie thing. I'm going to say something, and then that person's going to, no, I don't want to do this, no, I don't want to do that, and then we're going to go into this whole big spiel about how he's going to rule the world or something like that, and it's just going to take time. Just shoot him. Just Get it done and over with. Shoot them.
And so, Phil, you bought those bullets.
For example,
they're going in someone.
It could go like, work on my catapult. No, I don't want to do that. Bam.
I want soldiers. Nothing but soldiers.
Now, Phil, if I was to run a game for you, for someone who likes lots of combat and stuff, what kinds of things could I do to help you have a good gaming experience? Particularly when maybe the other people around the table are high RP, low combat, maybe even if we take the chat extreme of no combat.
Give us a situation where we all can participate in the combat. And a reason for us to be in the combat.
No, there are rarely any combats that are exclusive. Oh, this is just a combat for the high RP guys.
No, I like to think of it that I like
I play
like
characters that can't fight at all. Right. Some combats are relatively exclusive that way.
And give them a challenge. I mean, like I said, when a combat or when an encounter is faced, it's a problem and you have to solve out the problem. And there's other things that you can do besides shoot or stab.
Is really what's important to you then is just the variety?
Yes.
Just that it's available?
Well, yeah.
If I ran a dungeon crawl, okay, let's just say a true dungeon crawl.
Right.
There's no plot to this. We just roll up generic characters. We all meet in a tavern. There's a hole in the ground next to the tavern. We go in
we
there.
We fall in.
Yeah.
And it's that dungeon.
There's level 1 kobolds at the top. There's a level 30 demon at the bottom. And there's various lines in between. Would you enjoy that kind of game?
I did that Sunday.
You so played Undermountain on Sunday?
So, kind of. So the answer to, okay, what?
There were drow and dryads.
So the answer to this is basically
floor
yes.
62, of course.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I do find that a little dull because I want a little, I do like a little RP. I like to find a reason why we're here. I mean, I didn't just right. spontaneously
treasure,
combust
Phil.
And poof, I'm here. I would like to know.
Are you sure?
Well, it is magic.
It's true.
I'd like to, you know, have a little kind of, why am I here? What am I doing here? I'd like to know that. You know, I mean, there needs to be a reason.
Yeah, I'd like to know that in real life.
Did I go to the mission availability screen and click on it and say yes? I don't know. What'd I do?
And I'm trying to get you turn this into not a, just a fill interview, but some kind of useful advice here. And the reason this is kind of a fill interview is because you're the only person in our gaming group I'm aware of who is really like this, outside of maybe Tim, but Tim's in Iowa right now, so he can't help us. But if I was to run a game for you, would you feel satisfied with the balance if I did two things? One, included some combat so you could have your fun and have your challenge. And two, just provided enough RP to give you a sense of why you're here. And could you at the same time tolerate the moments where everyone else around the table is doing the higher RP, the non-combat moments, these long stretches where there's a drought of bullets and blades?
I could tolerate that. In fact, I have tolerated that. I've tolerated Chad. So
let me ask you a question, Phil. You say that you like the variety and the combat. Is it fair to say that you like rolling the dice?
I love rolling the dice.
Ah. Is there some sort of, I don't know, maybe instinctual pleasure, some sort of...
Well, basically, you don't know what it's going to roll.
Subtle joy
some
when you're watching that little...
Overtly glandular joy.
Flying across the table.
I don't know. It's like you got it in your hands.
Fear the Greek.
You go to roll it. You don't know what it's going to be. You hope it's good.
Everybody around the table is holding their breath.
Right?
It's rolling.
It's that
slowing
moment,
down.
Moment.
Oh, hell. Phil needs a 12. Oh, I see two numbers.
And
one of them's a 3.
You know what I find fascinating about this is looking at it from the other perspective. Throughout the whole history of this podcast, we have talked about running these high RP, deep character games where you use combat like a spice, that you sprinkle in a little salt and pepper to keep things interesting too much and it becomes a dungeon crawl. But not if you have none of it, I think, and a lot of other people listen have told us they think that it gets boring. But it's interesting to hear us from the other perspective, to hear someone that prefers the high combat dungeon crawl to say that he also wants a little bit of RP sprinkled in there. Yeah,
just to keep it interesting.
Yeah, just to keep it interesting. Now, Phil, let me ask you, do you like mixing the two? That when it comes down to combat, and if we have a combat where you're facing some monster, Do you like to mix the RP and combat to where you really describe in great detail, oh, I rip off a burst and then roll behind this thing, and oh, the guards react this way? Or would you rather just get down to, let's just do the rolls, here's who I killed?
If we're doing like mass numbers, I just want to do the roll and let's know. But if we're facing like the big final boss, or just facing a couple characters, I'd like to, you know, I take my sword and I, you know, slice into him and he doubles over in pain and
right.
things like that. You know, that kind of livens it up a little, kind of helps your imagination go along with it. So,
all right, before we sign this out, I'm going to give you, Phil, the last word. Okay. You've got the mic. There's no questions. There's no setup here. If you just want to give your Phil perspective on gaming, here's how to help out the Phils in your group, or here's what's on Phil's mind about role playing, what would it be?
Take a disadvantage so you can take an extra advantage.
Love it. Wow. That's why you're at the table. You know what? When we do the Phil Praise bonus episode, I want you to start off with that.
This is like, doctor, what can I do to improve my health? Smoke more.
And make sure that the disadvantage you take doesn't hurt you in combat. Yeah. Take wanted or something useless like that.
It'll add more combat.
Doctor, I feel terrible when I'm off my pills.
Does it bother
Here's some more.
All right, I lied. I'm good. That was just, I can't end on that note.
No,
Phil, I wanted to.
Does it bother you when your game master strongly limits you to try and steer you away from playing a min-maxed combat character? Does it bother you when the GM says, no, you can't have 10 guns, or no, you can't take meaningless disadvantages to get ambidextrous so you can hold two pistols? Does that bug you?
It cuts me deep.
Well, most of the time, so what do you gaming think of, under Chad.
What so do you think a fair penalty for ambidexterity should be?
Dude, I know how to do things with both my hands. There shouldn't be a penalty at all.
Okay.
All right. All
right. Should be a feat. It should just be required.
Loses his cell phone once a month.
I feel so dirty.
Ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous, and my disadvantage is listens to Evanescence.
Yes. Doesn't call mom as much as he should.
Plus right. five to hit.
Well, fortunately, I have a hazmat shower and some steel wool outside for John Adam and I. So we are going to take a quick break before we come back to record the bonus episode, which we will release a little bit later this week. So be looking for that. Once again, don't forget to vote for us in the Any starting on July 16th. And as of next week, we will have another round of the Power 16. So be sure to join us again for that.
And vote for me.
And
if
it'll
I'm
be
in
great.
It.
And if Phil's still there, vote for Phil.
Yeah, Phil, give a little speech.
Yeah, Phil, you're in the Power 16.
Phil, why should I vote for you? Why should Adam Pania vote for
you?
We
will all have a party on my train.
And this is a compelling argument.
If for a moment, Phil, we assume you were beaten by the Baron, which I don't know. I've not checked the final scores.
I landed on him with my train.
Then what do you have to say to the Baron as you sit at home and give your farewell speech and he continues to the next round of these parliamentary elections?
Suck my nuts.
All right, that we can end the show on. So thank you guys.
I think that was the 2000 election strategy.
So that's about to be a 2008 one as well. So yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.
Ta-ta.
And also, don't forget to stick around and check out the Nazi Zombie Bugbear theme song, which we will run right after the closing copyright notice. This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2007, fully owned by its host. Our theme song was written and performed by Tim White. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor, as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.
This past Thursday evening, our gaming group got together. Four characters were assembled, looking for adventure. Troubled times were upon us in a land engulfed in war. The plot hook was a smuggling run to build some esprit de corps. The setting was ripe for role-playing, the times were politically unstable. But our very first encounter was from the random table. There were hairy, ugly creatures wearing swastika armbands, feeding on the flesh of the living, terrorizing farmhands. Nazi zombie bugbears out on a killing spree. Undead fascist goblinoids encountered randomly. Nazi zombie bugbears just pillaging with glee. Undead fascist goblinoids, I think it's time to flee. When the smoke had settled, we were relatively unharmed. But the oddity of the encounter had left us quite alarmed. We like cool NPC interaction and a little tactical combat. But seriously, dude, that last encounter, what the hell was that? There were Nazi zombie bugbears out on a killing spree. Undead fascist goblinoids encountered randomly. Nazi zombie bugbears just pillaging with glee. Undead fascist goblinoids really get to me. Eventually we continued, but the adventure just got stranger. Finally we realized this campaign was in danger. What else is on that encounter table? Ninja demon cattle? Check. But don't you see the problem here? We're playing Battletech. There were Nazi zombie bugbears shot with my PPC. Undead fascist goblinoids encountered randomly. Nazi zombie bugbears, what will you roll up next? Alien pirate antelopes, that's totally BS. Nazi zombie bugbears are really annoying me. Random encounter table, oh how I hate thee.